Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Overtime 129. We're waking up, Tony.
Yes, sir, we are.
We had Debo here, but Debo decided to take a much-needed break. Took off because he's got some family things to attend to.
And he wanted to do some social networking.
He had some people. He's big into the social networking thing.
Yes.
I think that that's an important part of our society now. I really believe that social networking has taken on a life of itself. And not just
like we joked about your cloud score earlier, you know, being 9.3. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this other letter from the listener.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead and break the seal. Go ahead. Say something. Say something big.
What?
You know, say a little cuss word. Say a little cuss word.
Break it out. I'll wait. It's all good.
You're fucking right, you will. All right. Mark. I really like the direction the show has taken from a year or two ago. You have more discussion of topics and not beating me over the head with the politics, even though you still get on your little rants, which I find hilarious. Well, here is my dilemma. Okay. I'm a 19-year-old straight male who is also a virgin, and the thought of having sex with a non-virgin disgusts me. So far, really? I have rejected two offers of starting a relationship / getting intimate with a girl for the reason of them being a non-virgin, and I lose all interest in the girl and will stop pursuing her if I find out she has had sex already. I was a bit of a geek in school.
Okay.
So when the majority of people were losing their virginity, I really didn't have any opportunities to get with any girls. But now I am at university and I am a lot more social and I have had opportunities to get laid and it's starting to become a problem. It's affecting
because
me.
Because people want to have sex with them?
Yes. It's affecting me.
Okay.
As I just disregard the vast majority of girls because at 19, not many still have their V card. I won't even have one. I won't even have a one night stand with a non-virgin. I really don't know why it disgusts me so much. I would say I'm attracted to the innocence of a virgin. Also, I would see myself as competing with all of her previous sexual partners. And the thought of putting my penis in a place where another woman has or where another man has put his disgusts me also.
Okay.
Am I being a dick / too picky? I don't know. It doesn't affect who they are as a person, and I have really great female friends who are non-virgins. Is it something I will have to try and change / come to terms with, or is it just who I am?
Well,
it's definitely who you are, because the majority of people don't fall into there.
I mean, I don't know what to really say to the poor guy, first off. I mean,
well, you have a problem with this, you know.
I mean, the first question is he a normal 19-year-old guy who's, you know, watching porn and jerking off on a regular basis? And if he is, then why is he so picky about what pussy he's going to stick his dick into?
Well, like you said, it's disgusting that another dude has put his penis there. Have you ever thought about that aspect in your relationships in life? Like, you go to have sex with a girl. It doesn't matter who the girl is. You go to have sex with a girl, and other dudes have stuck their junk into her.
Okay.
They're not doing it at the same time.
By the same reverse logic,
right?
I've been other places too. And I think that's a question that he needs to answer first is...
Dirty.
Okay,
places.
So if he wants a girl with her V-card, that he... pops her cherry,
uh-huh.
And she pops his.
Right.
What happens if that relationship doesn't work?
Right, exactly.
And in that same respect, if that doesn't work, then he's going to now be what he despises most. He'll be tainted goods.
Well, here's the question.
Is he going to go, you know, be a priest then?
I don't know. You bring up an amazing point there.
Now, I would probably recommend for our listener who wrote in about wanting to only fuck a virgin.
Right.
And
nice fuck drop there.
Well, I already dropped a couple other drops as it was, you know, with, you know, pussy and jerking off. And all
yeah, of course.
It's the overtime. We can hit that.
I love it.
Little slyness there.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think if he's worried about who he's going to fuck first, I think he needs to. I think the first thing he should really do is go to someplace like Christian Mingle or I know like, you know, eHarmony is specifically designed for like getting married and literally like be honest in your profile, you know. I am a virgin looking for a virgin.
Okay.
I respect the virtue of a woman. Now, this is the kind of guy who I could believe, if he does believe this strongly,
right.
Would want to find someone to be intimate with that he would potentially stay with.
True,
which is why I recommend something
he's
like
looking for a relationship.
Christian Mingle or eHarmony, something that he's going to be with long
time. Let me ask you a little question.
I'm right here.
Do you have a personal relationship with eHarmony or any of these? Have you done the internet dating website thing?
Yeah, I have.
Recently, within the last few years or anything like
that? Last couple of years, yeah.
Last couple of years. choices? Okay, let me just get into this a little bit, because I don't really have a lot of friends or people that I know that have done this. Do you have ones that you specifically liked better than others? Like, were you with eHarmony or Plenty of Fish or this?
No,
or that?
Some of my best friends. A while ago, when I ended up single and I was like trying to figure out what the hell to do with myself and whether or not I was, you know,
tainted goods. Right, I get
I ventured into the online dating to see what was out there. And I used one service. I used Match.com.
Match.com. Okay. And how was Match.com? Because it's got all the interviews and all the videos and commercials and all that.
Now, mind you, this is when I was a member of Match.com for the period of time that I was. It was for the 6 months or whatever. And of course, all these dating sites are great about one thing. They make you pay up front for the 6 months a year that
Hell
you're
yeah,
paying.
Yeah, they do.
They make you pay up front for their services, because and you got to love their great guarantee that if you've emailed a certain number of people every month for 6 months and not gotten a date, they'll give you another 6 months for free.
So how many people do you think try to pull that on them?
I don't know, but I know that some friends of mine basically sat me down and made me fill out my profile and paid for my membership for 6 months. It's like a present to me. They're like, here, we're gonna help
your
you
mom and dad.
It was not my mom and dad. to get over your hump and like we're gonna sit down, we're gonna do your profile. And I remember we sat down and my buddy's girlfriend like helped me fill out all the stuff in my Match.com profile and everything else and pick the pictures I used and whatever else. And I didn't want to ever come on. I mean, my profile was, you know that I was in a busy industry and whatever.
Right,
else.
Of course.
I wasn't trying
to
explain, hey, I work in the film industry.
Yeah, you were trying to get it all
out
there.
The number one question I always get is, do you make porn? No, I do not make porn. But Match was good. I mean, I went on.
Did you get a few dates?
I went out on a date with one girl a couple times. Actually, I went out for like two or three dates with one girl.
Right.
And it just, it thought it could have been there, but no, it just wasn't clicking, I mean, it just didn't work.
So it was just one girl off Match.com that you pretty much went on dates with.
Yeah. Now, mind you, it was in a time frame when I couldn't really give it a whole honest run because there was a lot of shit going on.
Right. You had a lot.
And I was kind of all over the place. I've looked at a couple other ones,
Plenty of Fish?
I have a plenty of fish.
That's the free one, right?
I have a Plenty of Fish.
That's where all the fat girls always take the quarter angle shot from real high up so that you can't tell.
Well,
their boobs look big.
Now, I have a friend who swears by Cupid.com, which is also free, but I've not tried
that
one.
I have a friend named Rob. Him and his wife actually were on Lava Life. This was about 5 or 6 years ago. They got married.
Okay.
So they met on Lava Life.
I've known people that got married off of internet dating sites before.
Yeah, I don't think it matters how you meet the person.
No, I mean, it doesn't matter where you met.
Because a relationship's a relationship.
It's always funny how people's profiles would say this would be a great story to tell. Or are you ready to create the story of how we met and all those fun things, But I don't know. I mean, I just haven't really had the time to stop and invest because it sounds kind of odd to say this. It's kind of like, I mean, I've talked so many times to different people and at seminars and to different groups about things like how to use Kickstarter, which is, a crowdfunding site for artistic ventures, whatever else.
You need a date funding site.
Now, when I bring that up for a specific reason, because Kickstarter and doing a Kickstarter campaign to raise money, whether it be for a film or an album or artistic venture or whatever else, can become a full-time job. And I think that if you're going to be going out looking for a date off a website like Match or Plenty of Fish or whatever else, and you're really giving it your all, like you might have your job that you go to every day, your 9-to-5, whatever it is, and then you come home. And then when you come home, you kind of, for that period of time, have to make that dating site your other job, that you invest the time to, screen who you like and who you don't like and begin the conversation with people, should you actually meet up and whatever else, and you begin that filter process of if somebody's good or not. Some things I know, like, for example, I always laugh when I see the commercials for eHarmony, and it always says, free communication weekend. And, what's funny about the free communication weekend is you still can't see the pictures of the other person until
you
can.
So you can't really communicate.
You can email people, and you can communicate via email.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing with the online dating. I really believe that there is a heavy emphasis mentally for human beings have that visual.
Oh, I agree. There is.
Visual. Like, the visual is a primary basic instinct that you need.
There is.
And so, like, eventually,
now
you can talk a great game, but eventually you got to see the person.
I did at one point invest, and I think the reason why I keep getting all these emails from eHarmony, it's funny, I don't get them from Match.com, even though I actually paid to have an account on Match.com, which I wouldn't be opposed to trying it again. I think that when you pay one of the sites, their algorithms are a little bit deeper and better and go longer, and now Match does all their meetups in you know, groups and all that kind of stuff, which I wouldn't be opposed to trying again. I still stand by, and I don't know what the current views and stuff are, but some friends of mine, my best friends, came to me, and they were like, whatever you do, don't do eHarmony because they don't support gay relationships. And so I...
So you know, you decided not to do it because your friends didn't want that?
I stood by my friend's side. I mean, one of my best friends is a lesbian, and she all was right, like, please enough. Do not... do eHarmony because they don't support gay relationships. And I was like, okay, now they might now. I don't know. I haven't gone looking into dating websites lately.
Right, of course.
I don't know what the current stance are. So if that's changed,
he
so
totally
be it.
Knows.
I don't, honestly. But I mean, I still.
He's on his phone on him.
I'm not on my phone right now at all. But no, I think if this guy's looking for a virgin, don't be a, you know, and I'm going back to your
go to
your
J-Date.
Listener. No, well, go to a website that. If you go to a more religious-based website like right. Christian Mingle, you know, maybe J-Date, you're going to have a chance of probably finding somebody who fits that bill a little bit more, who's looking for a little bit more of that virtuousness to them. Now, if you're, you know, and I'm not saying that Match or eHarmony or Plenty of Fish is just a bunch of whores out there looking for other whores, but when you have somebody who has those values of a religious-based, a faith-based kind of mindset,
right.
They might have a little bit more of that, hey, I'm saving myself for the right person mindset, like this gentleman is.
Right.
To where that might be a much better fit and then become a much more longer term relationship because you found somebody who fits with all the things that you like, same interests, same everything else. You know, if he's in college going to the college pool, whether it be the fraternity sorority route or the bar route or the classroom route, he's not going to find... I mean, he might. I mean, I ran into virgins all the time when I was in college, but they weren't virgins very long.
Did you ever have a sex with a virgin?
Have I always? Yeah.
I just asked
that question.
What's that?
Why would you ask that question?
Have you ever had sex with a virgin?
Yes.
I've never had sex with a virgin.
Really?
No. Every girlfriend that I've ever had in my life already been deflowered.
Sorry, Mark.
That's okay.
Sorry you've lost
that
opportunity.
Doesn't bother me. I'm not worried about my V card. It's not like I'm thinking about all the penises that have been inside of them. Well, though I do think about that a lot, penises in general. I've got,
go ahead.
All right, quick question for you.
Okay.
Quick question for you. Pacific Rim is coming out.
It is. Guillermo del Toro. I'm actually kind of excited. Yeah.
Did you go vote? Did you go for Bo this week?
I got Go for Bo passes. And
how do you? Well, we need to talk about that off the air because I want to figure out like. I go to the site and I look at it and I'm lost. Okay. Like I got an account and everything and I'm lost okay. as to well, what to do I'll and split. How to do it and all this.
Yeah, but yeah,
I went last night and the day after that and then this other.
Originally done. Through some other sources, some of the motion picture marketing for free previews has begun to use this new website. And
don't tell everybody what the website is.
So I get the emails from the website.
Are you talking about there's another one
no,
beyond
no,
what
the
I
one
just,
that we're talking about?
Okay.
And so you know, I logged in and I created my account. And I get the emails like every so often when there's premiere, when there's previews, movies. And I got one for Pacific Rim that was on a night that I already had agreed to go out with a friend of mine. And
yeah, you're real secretive on this whole I got friends that I'm going out with and I'm out with friends tonight. And
so
just say I'm out with a girl or I'm out with my boy Ryan or whoever.
I was out having a guy's night and a buddy of mine and I were like, hey, we're going to go out and have a guy's night. I was like, cool.
Well, if it's a guy's night and I call you, let me know so I can come guy up with
okay,
you, man.
So,
Jesus.
So I get the passes to the movie and I say, hey, do you want to go see this movie? He said, no. So I canceled my reservation for the tickets, which is very hard because I really want to see this movie.
Why didn't you offer it up to me?
Sorry.
God darn it, this guy is so incommunicado.
So basically with Pacific Rim, some industry colleagues of mine mm-hmm. had another, a friend of a friend had gotten to see an early cut of it in Los Angeles and spoke amazingly high of the movie.
Really?
And
you know, a lot of people were talking down about World War Z and everybody who's going to see it has told me,
well,
it's a great movie.
I think the thing with World War Z is that everybody knew the film had gone through so many batches of reshoots. And that the shoot was kind of such a clusterfuck.
Right.
That they were afraid World War Z, and knowing what the original book is, that the movie would be a clusterfuck. And apparently the movie pulls it off.
Yeah, it does well.
Now, with Pacific Rim, everybody looks at it and goes, oh, it's like Godzilla. It's like this. It's like MechWarrior. It's like Transformers.
It's Cloverfield. Whatever. Yeah.
Cloverfield, whatever. It's all these things all put together. But then you have to remember, this is from the mind of Guillermo del Toro, who pulled off Pan's Labyrinth. You know, like, this is a guy
who's probably
not going to... It's a great movie. It's very fucked up and effects heavy and everything else. But he's not going to... He's not going to
waste his
wrong.
Time, yeah.
And so I am really, really curious to go see this movie. And in fact, I probably will try to go see a very early screening of it, you know, either Friday or Saturday over the weekend when it opens. And to get out there to go see it. You know, I mean, granted, yes, I mean, Marcus, you are so proud to tell your listeners that I am a member of the Directors Guild of America, and mm-hmm. yes, the DGA
proud of my friend.
Does offer...
My friend's not proud of me, but I'm proud of them.
I've told you I'm proud of
listen,
you,
listen,
jackass.
Listen, I am so much a better friend to all of my friends than they ever are to me. Oh, swear to God, I don't keep anything from them. Like, I'm a nice guy. Oh, my God.
I've told you how much I taught your radio show. No, but, I mean, one of the benefits of being part of the industry organization that I'm part of is you get free screenings.
Of course.
However, they're not really here in St. Louis.
Well, of course not. They're like Chicago, New York, L.A., wherever,
And so I don't think I'm going to get to go to a screening of it either in New York or L.A. because I'm in St. Louis. So I'm just going to, I'll just go.
Don't you wish you had shit off money that you could just do that? You'd be like, oh, I got a Pacific Rim screening in New York. I'm just going to
borrow the plane.
I'm going to go up.
Call Bruckheimer and borrow the helicopter.
I'm going to jump on the G6, roll up there, and I'll be back tonight by dinner time.
But no, there's a lot. I mean, I've been fortunate this summer to go see most of the movies that have come out. And there's been a lot that have surprised me, a lot that were better than I expected. And you know, this is none different. You know, I'm looking forward to Pacific Rim. I think it's an interesting concept, and I'm curious to see.
I've
how
been
it all
hearing
plays off.
A lot of people tell me the movie that they really this is really weird. Like Sideways have been telling me the movie they want to see badly is this movie Gravity with George Clooney. Is it George Clooney? Gravity or something like that. I want to say it's Gravity.
It's George's movie?
I want to say it's got George Clooney in it.
Okay.
Or maybe, or is it the one with Matt Damon?
Well, there's Elysium.
Oh, no, it's Gravity. The movie's called Gravity. Look it up. I mean, I've been hearing a few people go, oh, I want to see that movie, Gravity. They'll say it like, I'll ask him about other movies. And then when I'll be like, they'll like just throw in on the side. And I'm talking about 4 or 5 different people have said this.
Really?
I want to go see this movie, Gravity, or this movie that's called Gravity.
Okay.
Not sure who's in it. I want to say it's George Clooney that's in it, but I could be completely off base with that one.
But Gravity, you're talking about the one where like the worlds are inverted and they go
no,
to the other.
Is that
they go to the other?
I'm not sure if that's it.
The other side of the planet. The other side. Oh yeah, Sandra Bullock and George Clooney called Gravity. Yeah, let's see what's going on here.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's the movie. They said George Clooney.
Astronauts attempt to return to Earth after debris crashes into their space shuttle, leaving them adrift alone in orbit. You know, actually, I did. You know, it's funny. I actually have seen a trailer for this, and it makes me. It made me think a lot of Buried. You know, the Ryan Reynolds movie where he's buried alive.
Because
if you watch the trailer...
I got bored with that movie.
No, I mean, Buried is frightening. I mean, it was like a... Oh, dude, it still fucks my head up when I think about Buried. But Gravity seemed a lot like... We're like two astronauts are basically left adrift in space. And you know... You kind of can't come back into the Earth's atmosphere on your own because you probably burn up.
Right.
So what do you do?
So you just bang in space.
I mean, it's
Sandra part, Bullock it's, and him.
It, yeah, and from what I know, like it's mostly just them in space. Huh? Like in that whole concept of trying to figure out how to get back
into space. I don't know why so
space.
Many people keep telling me they want to see Gravity, but evidently whatever's in the trailer makes them want to see it.
I would tell you this. I have actually... Now that I've looked at what the premise is and everything else, I have seen the trailer for this movie, and I would say this would be very, very interesting to see. Because it's kind of like when you think about it, like, how did they get Ryan Reynolds for Buried? How did you get Sandra Bullock and George Clooney for this? Like, it's pretty much going to be them surviving for their lives.
There's
got to
be some type of a twist.
Oh, hell yeah.
There has to be.
And I mean, I'll be there, too, to see it, because I think it's going to be pretty interesting.
All right. I got some quick questions from the listeners that I want to run through, and then we're going to get out of here on Overtime 129.
Sure.
What is a medical myth that you are tired of hearing? A medical myth.
Medical myth?
That you are tired of hearing. I'm sick to death of hearing the whole you got to wait a half an hour after you eat to go swimming, to get in the pool.
That was just an old wives' tale.
I've been hearing that shit for years, and I just think it's BS. And I know it's BS.
You know,
I've gotten into the pool 5 seconds after I ate.
I'm gonna. You know, I think one of the myths that I think always gets me, and I know that I have a friend who I know is gonna hear this and is gonna, well, the moment I say this is gonna be calling me to.
You have a friend who's gonna listen to our show?
I have lots of friends that listen to the show. Actually, by the way,
whenever you're on it, really?
Yeah,
that's weird.
I have friends who
they don't
who
contact me
religiously listen to the show when I'm on your show.
They never contact me. I'll tell you that.
But they
should.
I think the argument that I would make is for when you have to go to bed and how soon, like, you're not supposed to eat
how many
before
hours?
You go to bed.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you're not supposed to eat soon before you go to bed. That'll cause you to gain weight. I understand that. However,
I heard that was BS.
No, because your body processes everything at different times and you shouldn't eat right before you go to bed. That is truth. However, when the latest you can eat is dictated by when you go to bed. And
true.
I have friends who stand by the, oh, you can't eat past a certain time. You can't eat past 7 or 8 or 9 o'clock at night, regardless of when you go to bed. Even if you're going to, bed at 3, I think, like, personally, it's like, it's kind of like, oh, you need, 8 hours of sleep. But I think what it is, it's when you get the sleep dictates how your body's rhythm is. Because if you adjust your circadian rhythm to be, 3 till 11 versus, 10 till, 6, it changes, like, the whole function of your body. You know what I'm saying? And I know people that regardless of what time you go to bed, they tend to, it's like certain functions have to happen in a certain time frame. And I'm like, well, it depends on when you go to sleep. Everything depends upon what rhythm your body's on. You know what I'm saying?
And I
believe that truly. And not to mention, it's, I still stand by, I think the human body only needs 6 hours of sleep versus 8.
I think that all depends on the person. I know people that swear by 9 to 10.
And this whole you've got to get the 6 or 8 hours in one block, I think, is also a myth. Because, what was it they say that successful people sleep in two, like, 3-hour breaks, 2-3-hour blocks?
That's how my grandma did it.
And the rest of the time they're awake.
Yeah, my grandma she was a seamstress. And she ran a small crew. And then whenever the fall or the summer would come up, they would get all the orders in from all the parochial schools for all the uniforms that the kids would have to wear.
Sure.
So she would literally, what she would do is she would work for like 6 to 7 hours. Mm-hmm. She would take a 2 to 3 hour nap. Then she'd wake up, work 6 to 7 hours, take the 2 to 3 hour nap. So,
right.
Constantly.
Oh, sure.
For, a month or two. Solid.
Wow, yeah.
All the time. And then maybe every once in a while take a day off and just, sleep in a little bit of extra stuff.
Sure. What else you got?
What would you do a lot more if it were socially acceptable? So let's think of things that are socially unacceptable. What would you do a lot more if it was socially acceptable?
Have random sex.
No. Well, yeah. Rape women.
No, I did not say that. It was Mark Bland's mouth that said that.
But not rape women. Like, not sex with women.
I did not say that. That was Mark Bland.
It's not socially acceptable to walk up to a girl and just pull her pants down and start having sex with her.
No, that's not what I'm referring to.
But if you could do that, would you do that more often and wouldn't get in trouble for it and it wasn't a problem? Like, it was socially acceptable? Like, girls understood
like,
that this
like
is a
dog walked up to another dog and randomly jumped. Up on him? No, I'm not that guy.
You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it.
If things were more socially acceptable, I still think, as much as we've done it for hundreds of years, I think that smokers are highly persecuted now, and so it's actually finding a place to smoke inside is a lovely change of pace.
So you would smoke inside more often.
I like the ability. Well, until I quit smoking, I like the ability to smoke inside.
True.
I don't want to be a bitter former smoker, though. Whenever it happens, I don't want to be that bitter former guy. I think the whole speed limit thing, I think, is also a little ostentatious. I think
there's things, lots of other countries that have like unlimited highway sections.
Well, and at the same token,
like the Autobahn,
I think, like,
and they don't have as many deaths as
like,
we do.
Like, if like, yeah, it's, I mean, there's certain things like there's, we even have states in America that, like, as long as you're driving. As long as your car could physically go that fast and do it safely without being out of control, sure. I mean, it's like, I've gotten tickets when I'm like 10 over and I'm like, okay, I'm on a 5-lane road and the speed limit drops from 60 to 40. and there's no stoplights, so it's basically a highway, and I'm at 40 miles an hour. Like, come on. That's literally just a, that's all that is a moneymaker for that municipality. And those kind of kill me. If
it was more socially acceptable to smoke weed, like out in the open, like it's slowly getting there. But if it was just like socially acceptable
if you're in a state that has legalized marijuana, I think that already is the case.
No. You can't just stand on the sidewalk in California and smoke weed.
But in Colorado and Washington, you can.
No, you can't. They're under the same rule as California, from what I know.
They can sell it and you can smoke it. Did you just hear about this? On January 1st, the marijuana laws changed in Colorado and Washington.
They charged in the city of St. Louis.
And everybody lit up in the streets.
No, I didn't hear about lighting up in the streets.
Yes. I saw the video from the newscast. Like, when the moment midnight hit, it was legal to smoke marijuana, like, out publicly, basically. I mean, that's why, like, the whole marijuana bars are coming up into those locations.
That brings up another question. Let's say you're not from that area, right?
Okay.
You come to that area,
sure,
and you're just sitting at a bus stop, and a dude just starts smoking a joint next to you.
Okay.
It's legal.
Sure.
Do you feel that you would have... Like, would you look down on a person like that? Like, just from your point of view, knowing you're from an area, knowing what weed can do to a person, not saying that weed's a horrible drug, but, you know, no. It does impair.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I have friends and some colleagues who smoke a lot of marijuana, and they still get the job done. They still function. They still do their job. They do whatever else. They do it on their own time, you know, and they don't let it inhibit them from doing their jobs. But at the same time, you know, it's a choice. It's like me smoking tobacco, you know, me drinking a beer, you know, I mean, or any alcohol. I mean, it's a choice. If somebody wants to smoke marijuana, you know, smoke marijuana. If I want to smoke tobacco, I'm going to smoke tobacco. It's all grown in the earth, you know.
All right, last question.
Okay.
Last question.
You can have all the time we want. I know.
What?
We have all the time we want. What are you rushing me for?
I'm not rushing you, man. We're just getting in there.
You need to get to the bar before our last call.
I guess so. Last question.
Sure.
What is your favorite beginning to a movie? Your favorite beginning to a movie? For me, there's one movie that just pops to the top of my head. The minute I read this question, it just immediately just sprung for me. It's not even a good movie, but my favorite beginning to a movie is literally the beginning to the movie The Way of the Gun with Ryan Phillippe and Benicio del Toro and Sarah Silverman. And I love the beginning of that movie. I think it's hilarious.
Sarah Silverman.
In fact, you know what? Go ahead. Start thinking about it. I'm going to see if I can find it.
I would probably say, I mean, there's a few that I think are hysterical, like the opening of the original Bad Boys, you know, as they're riding in the Porsche and he's trying to eat the cheeseburger and the guys end up trying to carjack him, you know. I think that's a hysterical opening to a movie. I think, you know, one of the most powerful openings to a movie is obviously Saving Private Ryan. You know,
good movie opening right there. Like, it's not so much about the powerfulness of it. I just thought it was really well done.
You know, well, I mean, I think in the opening of Saving Private Ryan, you look at, you know, are you counting when he's walking, when the old man's walking across the graves to the gravesite, or when you actually get all the way through D-Day? Like, I think it's all the way through D-Day. That like, only time in my life, in the beginning of a movie, I had to put my popcorn down because it was so intense, was sitting in a matinee show of Saving Private Ryan where I was the youngest person in the room.
All right, here's the opening to The Way of the Gun.
Okay.
It's Sarah Silverman and her boyfriend standing at the opening to a bar.
Hey! Hey! Yeah, you, get up! What, are you retarded? Get off the fucking car!
Hey, Dickless, get off the fucking car! Hey, fucksuck! Get your slippery fucking ass off the car! Listen to me! Get off the fucking car with your fucking ass!
Shut that cunt's mouth or I'll come over there and fuck start her head!
Do something.
Really? So, of course, the boyfriend is being told to do something.
You're gonna wish you never fucking got up this morning! morning, asshole, because my boyfriend's gonna fuck you up. And then after that, while he's fucking up your fucking gay uncle over there, I'm gonna fucking cut off your cock and mail it to your mother, you fucking faggot bitch. Gaylord fucking bitch. How do you like that? You like that a lot? You fucking faggot? You like to ass fuck? Fontanella fucking baby head fuck?
What?
You like to fuck baby heads? You like to fuck boys? He's gonna fuck you in the ass. How do you like that? He's not even gay, but he'll do it just to fuck.
Honey, she's got a big mouth, but she's not kidding. I'm gonna whip you silly, and I'm gonna fuck you stupid. You wanna do the man dance? First dance is yours.
And he punches Sarah Silverman. That's the best part.
You right, Felipe?
Turns into a big old fight after that. I love that scene. I think that's
I'm gonna fuck start your face. I would also say probably opening to Pulp Fiction. You know,
that's a good movie. That's a good.
Don't
scene.
Have any of you motherfuckers, man.
My God.
I don't know. I mean, you know, you get a lot of those things where things are just, you know, great openings. You know, that stand out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but it depends on what the type of movie is and how they're gonna, you know, set it up and, you know, make things, you know, capture the
imagination. I love it. Yeah. Tony Cabral, I want to thank you so much for coming on to Overtime 129, as well as the Q Show today.
Of course.
I appreciate it. If you guys want to check out acefilms.com, you can contact...
It's acefilms.com. It's acefilms1 on Twitter or Instagram, and you can also find Ace Films on Facebook.
All right. Fair enough. And if
you would... You know, I need to do something for 3 seconds. I'm going to request that all of your listeners email Barrage the fucking shit out of you.
Okay.
To tell you to write said script so I can put you in a movie that we've been talking about for over a year.
I'm down.
That he has promised to write this script, the story down. I'll write the script. You write the story. I'll translate it into a screenplay so we can put Mark Bland in a movie, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us. TheQNow.com, check that out, and we will see you next time on the show.
I got my ticket for the long way round. The one with the prettiest